just speak to me briefly, Jamie, mm-hmm. about the way that you see the natural world mm-hmm. in King Lear and yeah. and what your vision is, what happens to it?
Yeah, so sort of, it's quite simple, really. Like, this is the show that is set the furthest away from when Shakespeare was writing. So when you look at kind of where he set his plays, he was really specific that obviously the histories would happen in kind of England and France, and then there'd be vague sort of Mediterranean Ephesus and places like this, or Illyria for kind of Twelfth Night and Comedy of Errors and whatever. But he's very clear that King Lear is set in a kind of pagan, pre-Christian England. And actually, when I was thinking about the play, I kind of wanted to keep that for a couple of different reasons. And I think the first one is that a sort of warlord type chief who is King Lear, you know, who rules absolutely and is in place by some sort of divine appointment, means that the rebellion is that much worse. You know, the sort of what his daughters do to him is not only about trying to destroy their father, but they're also destroying this holy being. Do you know what I mean? This kind of God-given power, this kind of seat of ultimate sort of power, and disrupting the of the natural order. Nature plays a really important part of it, you know. So Edmund appeals to kind of nature, and he's always complaining about now's the time for bastards. So fate and the world of kind of gods, and the idea of kind of multiple gods as well, is a sort of a thing that kind of plays, sort of really plays into King Lear. And it sort of ended up there because initially I went, oh, wouldn't it be brilliant to set it in 2018 in England post-Brexit? Because, and then I was like, actually, there's a reason that Shakespeare set it where it set it. And sometimes that distance can allow you to kind of view things much more clearly. And it allows people to kind of bring other things to it. Because, you know, a sort of a maniac who is making terrible decisions, whose family don't really like him, is particularly current, right? But that's true here, but it's also true in terms of the way that it's being kind of split up in England. So actually, by giving it a pagan setting, also what you allow is you allow people to bring the thing that they relate to the setting of the show, you know, and you avoid tricky things like mobile phones, because when you see modern Shakespeare's, you think, well, if Romeo could send a text, then none of that would have happened. So so you avoid all of that tricky stuff.
Juliet
as well.
Said, don't text me.
She did. Oh, yeah, I forgot that.
She was like, don't do it.
I think that's one of the lines they cut out.
Yeah. And Charles, you are actually going to help out with the beginning. You're going to be like a dramaturg in this situation. Tell me about that.
I am helping for 1 or 2 weeks with working with the actors at the beginning of our rehearsals. And we're calling them text work. We're just going to do the down and dirty work of figuring out where the stresses are and what the poetry is. And then we'll talk about what the lines mean and what the situation is that the characters are engaged in, why they might be doing something or how it related to what they just did. And I'm going to be a kind of human Cliff's Notes or No Fear Shakespeare and basically just kind of translate a bunch of lines into terms that people can understand.
How did you become a theater person? How did you become a director? Did you study theater?
Really simple. My mum, who's a very wise woman, I was brought up somewhere really rough. So I was brought up in a council estate, which is a sort of the English equivalent of the projects, kind of council-assisted housing. And my mum sent me to a drama class when I was 10 to sort of keep me out of trouble, basically. And it sort of blossomed from there. Like, I'd always loved stories, and there was a book about Greek myths and legends from the library that I probably read about 40 times, and every time I went, my mum would be like, you can choose something else, and I was like, no, I want this one. So sort of stories had always been a kind of big part of my life, so I kind of got hooked at age 10, stayed at this company, which was brilliant for me, and I did early directing and a little bit of playwriting, but I stopped because I was terrible. And then just moved through school. So I did my undergrad in drama education at the newly royal Central School of Speech and Drama. They've just been given royal status which is fun for them. And then I did my MFA in theatre directing. So I was always going to be an actor. And then when I graduated, I only played drug dealers and terrorists. So I decided to kind of to try something different. And when I was little, I was always told that Shakespeare wasn't really for people like me, coming from a working class background. So I wanted to prove people wrong. And when I was younger, I realized, I thought, oh, I don't understand it. And then I realized that I had seen lots of bad Shakespeare with people fudging their lines. And then the first time I saw really good Shakespeare being done, I was like, oh, I understand what they're saying. And I sort of fell in love with it. So it's made up kind of a big part of my work. And I'm really lucky. I spent a year and a half at the Royal Shakespeare Company working with them. And then I did a season at the Globe working on Macbeth with a guy called Giles Block, who has the most English title in the world. He is the master of text at the Globe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Damn, no, indeed.
I want to be master
Damn
of text.
Damn, indeed. So, yeah, so he worked with Mark Rylance when Mark was artistic director there. So Shakespeare in kind of classical work has made up a big part of my my life. And a sort of a big thing of that is about making it accessible to people who don't think it's for them. And step one is about making sure that actors know what they're talking about, because if they do, then most people understand it. There's lots of sort of myths and misunderstandings around Shakespeare, so hopefully we can sort of do a little bit of work of dispelling some of those.